This morning, we're invited by our readings that have been set for this morning to look at the risks of becoming complacent and smug in our faith. Our first reading from Jeremiah addresses one of the great puzzles of our faith. If God really is everywhere and in everything, then why is it so difficult to discern his presence among us sometimes? Jeremiah admits that people's sins have been many, but he asks God why he doesn't seem present to those who are seeking him. He then sort of answers his own question in a way by saying that God is there, but that the people have wandered away. Jeremiah is speaking at a time when there's a lot of politics in the country of Judah and things are very fraught. I guess we can perhaps identify with that, with what's going on in our own country at the moment, can't we? The kingdom of Judah is under threat from enemies on all sides. Jeremiah's words speak as powerfully into our world as they did into his. Verse 19 says, "We look for peace, but find no good, for a time of healing, but there is terror instead." At the time that Jeremiah wrote these words, one of the reasons there was a lot of unrest was that there was a big season of drought, so the people must have been quite desperate and worried about their future. And Jeremiah asks God to show his mercy and recognises that the people need God and need to repent. We're often reminded of our own humanity, aren't we? Even though we try to be good and as perfect as we can be, despite the fact that we're human. But the reality is that however hard we try, we mess up sometimes, don't we? And this can happen more when we ignore our need for God, when we ski off piste, if you like, when we try and do our own thing and we don't listen to God. Jeremiah implores God to remember his covenant, his promise, and challenge the complacency of the people who seem to be sleepwalking into a catastrophe. Perhaps this is a message that's really relevant to us that we need to hear in our society today. I don't just mean what I said earlier, that we're in a politically difficult situation in our country at the moment. Don't worry, I won't mention the B word, don't worry. But perhaps the situation with our environment, we've all been so complacent, haven't we, for so long with our plastic bags and everything covered in plastic, and it's just become normal to us, hasn't it? We've become quite complacent. I've tried to cut down on my plastic, but I went to Enfield Town a month ago and I bought some birthday cards and I deliberately bought them because they weren't covered in plastic. And then I bought some fresh food. And I had to have, because I was worried about the food sort of smearing something on, sort of squashing into the cards. And I thought, I don't know, I can't manage without a bit of plastic. And I was cross with myself afterwards. So maybe that reading is a way we can look at that reading in our modern times, that there's something that we've always done and we've become complacent about. And for the future, we perhaps have to rethink how we live our lives and how we do things. Moving on to our reading from Luke's Gospel about the Pharisee and the tax collector. The word Pharisee, I'm sure most of you here, especially those of you who've been Christians for many years, will have an image of what a Pharisee is and about. And I'm sure if I were to go around and ask you all, I won't, so don't worry, there'd be a variety of different words that you'd use to describe a Pharisee and perhaps quite strong opinions about them as well. Therefore, it's very difficult for us to treat them with respect and perhaps look at them with a fresh outlook in this reading. Because the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector disrupts our stereotypical views, doesn't it? It doesn't go quite how we think it's going to go. A bit like the parable of the Good Samaritan, that doesn't go how we think it's going to go, does it? We need to think of how it would have been received by the audience that Jesus was telling it to. To them, the Pharisee would have behaved really unexpectedly. He would not have been expected to pray so dismissively of other people in the community. Equally, the great sin of the tax collector would have been to turn his back on the community, and it would have shocked many of the people who were listening to Jesus to hear that there was a tax collector even in the temple at all. The temple might have been there for the whole community, but to hear that a tax collector, someone who worked for the Romans, was in there would have been a real shock. Then Jesus says that it's the tax collector and not the Pharisee who is right with God. Well, many of the community would have found that scandalous, really shocking at the time. And some in the audience would have thought strongly that the Pharisee, whom we hear gives more than is required to support the community, would have been justified in what he said. The tax collector may have been sincere and humble, but did he deserve to be right with God? Jesus concludes his parable by saying that blessings are for those who humble themselves, and that's why the tax collector is justified rather than the Pharisee. Jesus then challenges us further, whether we are self-righteous or self-abasing. Are we prepared for the demands of being in God's community? It will involve us being open and being like the box here, that was filled with God's grace and mercy, and being prepared to be changed by God. Our church is for everyone, no matter who we are, what our background is, and this parable is meant to disrupt our stereotypical views. We must remember that the Pharisees were experts of the law and devoted to God. So this Pharisee really acts out of character by thanking God that he's not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers. And he then singles out the tax collector, who just happens to be present in the temple the same time as him. Did the Pharisee not recognise the tax collector as being part of the community? Did he suddenly forget that the love of mercy of God extends to everyone? Now, most people at some point in their lives have had someone, a specific person or a kind of person who they've found difficult. For various reasons, they may have had a bad experience with them or read lots of things that have put them against that person. So I'm just going to challenge you and give you a moment to think about it. Is there anyone, if there were a specific person or a kind of person, that if they were to walk through that door now and come in and want to shake hands with you all, that you would have a problem extending your hand to? And I'm just going to give you a moment to think about that. So the two characters in our parable are very contrasted, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee full of pride, the tax collector very humble. One stands by himself, the other at a distance. One focuses upon himself, the other in what Christ has done. And as a result, one went home justified and the other didn't. In the first chapter of Luke, verses 46 to 55, Mary sings a song of praise at the birth of Jesus. Those of you who've ever worshipped in the Anglican Church will know that this is set to music and sometimes sung and called the Magnificat. And verse 52 of this reading says, "He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." It's a great contrast. I don't know if you had the lectionary reading 2 weeks ago, but the lectionary reading 2 weeks ago, there was a man with leprosy, and he was thankful for the mercy shown towards him. That's a great contrast to this reading, where the Pharisee is thankful that he's not like the other people. I'm sure I can identify with this, and I'm sure you all can. We all live lives of great contrast, don't we? We're not the same personality or character all through our lives. Sometimes we act and feel humble. Sometimes perhaps we're a little bit prouder than we should be. So I wonder if perhaps we can recognise ourselves a little in this story too. Unfortunately, we live in a world where it's constantly competing and comparing everything. We have all these sort of celebrity competitions, don't we? All these celebrities that all the youngsters want to look like. And they're constantly adverts to make yourself look better, aren't they? Diets to go on and makeup and face things and people. And everyone wants to look better than everybody else, don't they? And this story reminds us also that life isn't a competition. Everyone, however beautiful they look, however wonderfully they're dressed, everyone needs God's mercy. Both the Pharisee and the tax collector needed God's mercy. We all have bad days, don't we, when instead of recognising our needs of God's mercy, we complain about people and we grumble that at least we're not as bad as so-and-so or a particular kind of person. And when we do this, everyone loses, not just the people we're moaning about, we lose as well, because we should focus instead on the needs of others and how we can be instruments of God's mercy. Jeremiah's community had become too easy in their belief in God's blessing. And the Pharisee, in Jesus' parable, risked separating himself from the righteous community by becoming too self-regarding. Sorry, I was hoping this wouldn't happen. The only hope for them, and indeed for us, to save ourselves from being complacent and smug, our only hope is to return again and again to the community of God's mercy.